be in a spirit of prayer. Lead me, Jesus, in your word. Lead us, Jesus, in your word. Amen. One of the things I like about Christianity, and also about the church, is that we talk a lot about grace. And I tell you, I need a little grace this morning because it was a long and tiring week, and the notes that I jotted down along the way, like I was waiting for work projects and that sort of thing, the notebook that was in wound up in Roger's bag last night and traveled home with him. And so my sermon preparation really came out of sanding drywall. So you may notice that as you go along. So be spirit and people of grace and invite the spirit into our presence this morning. But it was in this sanctuary just about a year ago, May, that the Reverend Bert Marshall came and spent some time with us doing what he called the Gospel of Mark Alive. Some of you were there. And what he did is he took over an hour, and from beginning to end, verbatim, he recited the entire Gospel of Mark. It was really amazing. And he added in some dramatics and some music as well. He really brought the Gospel of Mark alive. It's really good to be there. It was the first time I had ever heard the Gospel in that way. Well, the next morning, Reverend Marshall led worship and preached for us, and then afterwards I invited him back to the parsonage to have some lunch. And so we sat around the table and we ate soup and bread, and I asked him a little bit about how he came to memorize the Gospel of Mark and how he came to go around from church to church and place to place presenting this to various congregations. But what I really wanted to know, and the question that I asked him, was, what does that feel like? Know the entire Gospel of Mark. I mean, you don't need a Bible. Take off the shelf if you want to talk about the Gospel, think about the Gospel. You've got that inside of you. What does that feel like? And he said, I never really would have expected this when I started memorizing it, but after I had the whole thing memorized, I had this, hard to describe, he said, but I had this sense of holiness, that it was a sacred thing that I had done. That the Gospel was in me. I was now a carrier of it. I embodied it. It was alive within me. And because of that, I felt I had a different sense of purpose and call than I had ever had before. I really envied him in that moment. He had the Gospel in him, and I wondered to myself, and many times since then, how does one do that? How does one get the Gospel inside of you and move it from the book, off the shelf and into our lives? How do we move it maybe from our heads into our hearts and into our hands and into the actions that we take? Do we have to memorize it? Because if we do, that's not going to happen from my end. I have not known from my memory here, right? So if getting the Gospel in you isn't just about memory, how else might you get it in you? Good question. I thought a lot about it, and I thought about it a lot this week on our mission trip. And I thought about our scripture passage, which is just a short little six verses, but it's one of the most memorable passages for me. I think about it a lot. And in that passage, we've got sort of a transition in Mark's Gospel, or Luke's Gospel, where Jesus is starting his third ministry tour around Galilee. The first time he went, he took four disciples with him. And it was just Jesus and the four disciples, and they went around talking to people and preaching. The second tour that he took 12 disciples with him. Now the whole 12 is with him, and Jesus and the 12 went around preaching and teaching and healing. Well, things have changed by the time we get to chapter 9. And Jesus has a different plan. So what he's going to do is he's going to peel off, and he's going to go by himself, and he's going to send the 12 out into the world to do what he had been doing before. They were still green. They were still rookies. They really didn't have the Gospel in them. And now their teacher, their mentor, their guide, the reason that they left their families and their places of employment, he's now saying, I'm going over here, and you are all going to go over there. And they weren't prepared, and they weren't ready, and I'm sure that they were terrified. But Jesus has some words for them. And what he does is he tells them, he says, now before you go, I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you authority over demons, and I'm going to give you the authority to heal. These are classic marks of the church that we still carry with us. This is what Jesus commissions them to do and gives them authority to do it. And then, he says, as you go, as you are authorized, I want you to do two things. I want you to proclaim the kingdom of God. And I want you to heal people. Simple to say, maybe, but pretty hard to do. So he gives them authority, and then he gives them goal to work for, to proclaim and to heal. But then he gives them each a tractor-trailer load full of food and money and clothing and resources, doesn't he? No. He doesn't give them anything. In fact, he says to them, don't take even a walking stick with you. Don't take a bag for your journey. Don't even take a second tunic or a change of clothes. I want you to go out there and I want you to trust me that I will provide. And I want you to trust your neighbors that they will host you. And so when you go into a town, don't shop around and look for the nicest house and the best food. Just go to whoever offers their home to you first. And if nobody does, or if they reject you, it's fine. Just shake the dust off your feet. Move on to the next town. Okay? And heal as you go. That's what he says. Doesn't give them anything. And I really felt that in Indiana this last week. You know, as we were sent by this church, authorized to proclaim the kingdom and to heal as best we could, and we were given things. We had a bag. I certainly had a bag. And it was a big bag. But you know what? When we knocked on the doors of the houses that we were going to visit, we found out very quickly that we didn't have the knowledge we needed to do the work we needed to do. We didn't have the tools. Sometimes we didn't have the courage. We didn't have any of that. But you know what? At the end of the week, there were a group, we took a look at 7 or 8 different sites, and we painted and we scraped and we borrowed tools from one another, and we did a whole lot with not very much. And we did that, I think, because we were in a situation where we didn't have what we needed. And that forced us into relationship with one another and with God and with the people whose homes that we entered into. And I think without exception, they opened us with open arms, welcomed us with open arms, and made us feel right at home and helped us whenever they could. And so we were able to do all of that work. But you have to go to Indiana and do all that sort of work in order to get the gospel inside you? Is it about memory? Is it about going on trips far away and doing drywall? Is that how you get the gospel inside of you? I think it's different than that. And I think our gospel teaches us this morning, and our experiences in Indiana have confirmed this for me, but that you get the gospel inside of you when you make yourself vulnerable, humble, in service to others for the sake of the gospel and for the life of the world. You get the gospel inside of you. You move it from here into here, out to here, when you make yourself vulnerable with no bag for the journey, for the sake of the gospel, and serving others for the life of the world. That's how you get the gospel inside of you. And so what I saw in Reverend Marshall wasn't about memorizing anything. It was about him committing himself to traveling all over the country, being hosted by strangers, so that he could proclaim the gospel and heal in that way. That's why the gospel was in him. And in our group in Indiana, the gospel was in us because we were vulnerable. Begin our power away and let other people host us in service for the sake of the gospel. You see, you can do what Marshall, and you can do what the Indiana trip did. You can do that right here. And right where you are in your own lives, and right in your own office building, and right in your own homes. It's a matter of giving your power away and humbling yourselves and making yourselves vulnerable. And trusting God. And trusting the hospitality and the love and the care of one another in service of the gospel for the life of the world. And so, the takeaway this morning is this. May you make yourselves vulnerable. May you give away your power and make yourselves humble. And may you do that because you believe the gospel can heal. And the gospel can save. And the gospel can solve a lot of the problems that we have in our lives and in our communities and in our world. May you all individually and all of us together, may we be vulnerable in service of the gospel.